Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like habits of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, where to get help, even how to get started on your own. And I love hearing from small business owners and employees, by the way. Let's talk about your business. Send me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Today's stories, the trend toward personalization of products thanks to data, and the cattle ranchers trying to find a voice in Congress. Those stories after this. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And Geico offers coverage for more than just car insurance. Got a motorcycle? Geico's got you covered. Got an RV? Covered. Got a boat? Covered. How about homeowners or renters insurance? You bet Geico's got you covered. And there's so much more Geico could help with. Plus, don't forget the discounts. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save. That's geico.com. Thanks to new technology and the data it collects, companies are personalizing everyday items from sports drinks and vitamins to skin creams and shampoo. As more data become available on everything from sweat content to DNA, companies are customizing products to suit individual needs. Is this something your small business is taking advantage of? It's a story by Wall Street Journal reporter Ellen Byron. Ellen, what's going on?
How, despite there's countless choices seemingly on store shelves for all of these everyday products we use, like skin creams and shampoos and sports drinks, there are product makers that are rolling out fully customized versions of these things. And so I looked at some of the reasons why, and some of it does have to do with simply too much choice, that consumers find figuring out what shampoo is right for them is such a hassle that they would rather go online and fill out a profile about themselves and for a custom shampoo, or that there's new manufacturing agility and data collection capabilities that make customized versions of a lot of products we use possible now.
We're speaking with Ellen Byron, Wall Street Journal reporter. She's got a piece entitled, "We Now Live in a World with Customized Shampoo," and she's taking a look at the different products that can be customized for your needs. You mentioned, too, women with skin blemishes. What's happening on that front?
Well, it's blemishes. It's also pigmentation, sun damage. So there's a lot of different skin imperfections that people like to address.
Wow. So explain, like, with skincare, for example, or shampoo, how this stuff could be customized. What goes into it?
Well, you can fill out, in the example of hair care, I spoke with the co-founder and CEO of Pros, which is a line of made-to-order hair products. And users answer about 30 questions online about topics that range from their hair, their diet, their stress level, their climate, their fitness routine, how often they shampoo. And then from there, they develop a formula that caters to all of the different benefits that you might be looking for in a shampoo. So if you, for example, say that you have dry hair, the quiz will actually probe why you have dry hair. Is it because you're aging or live in a dry climate or because you color your hair or you're in a swimming pool every day? And all of those factors will then dictate what types of ingredients go into your particular shampoo formula.
Wow. Studies show that we want this, by the way, this customized stuff.
Well, there appears to be demand for it, and there's new versions of personalized products popping up all the time. Another aspect of this is just technology allowing for this customization to be possible. I talked to Gatorade, and they later this year expect to launch a new line of products called GX, and that allows for customized hydration. And so if you're an athlete, you stick a sweat patch onto your arm, and then you work out for about 30 minutes, and then you take a picture with your smartphone using a new GX app that reads that sweat patch, and that in turn will combine that data collection of how much you sweat and also what is in your sweat.
Wow.
They'll combine that with your performance goals as well as the climate that you work out in, and will suggest customized Gatorade formulas for you. This is something that elite athletes that Gatorade works with, they've had access to, but now with this kind of wearable technology that's been developed in partnership with Northwestern University, it allows the everyday jock to have these customized versions too.
Thanks, Ellen. Wall Street Journal reporter Ellen Byron. More after this. Owning your own business can be so rewarding, but also really lonely and stressful. If you don't have anyone to consult with, it's hard to know if you're making the right decisions. That's why you need the Alternative Board, also known as TAB, a group of business owners and experts in your area that you can turn to for advice. TAB has been helping owners and CEOs of privately held businesses for close to 30 years with their business owner advisory boards. Each board is made up of up to 10 local non-competing business leaders. You meet together for 4 hours each month to discuss business issues and opportunities. You'll get valuable feedback and support, plus coaching between meetings. Having a TAB membership can make a huge difference for your business. Members report better work-life balance and a greater ability to deal with day-to-day operations. Plus, a TAB survey showed that their members surpassed the average sales revenues of privately held businesses by 2.5 times. Learn more about getting matched to the Alternative Board near you at my special website, thealternativeboard.com/yourmoneynow. Go now, and you'll also receive an ebook on 25 timeless principles of exceptional businesses, usually $16.95, but my listeners get it for free. Get started today at thealternativeboard.com/yourmoneynow. A group of cattle ranchers say their livelihood may depend on persuading Congress to order mandatory country of origin labeling for the steaks and burgers they produce. The government once required such labels, but lawmakers outlawed them in 2015 to comply with global trade rules. David Lynch, global economics correspondent at The Washington Post, paid a visit to Paterson, Washington, near the border with Oregon, to get a feel for the cattle battle. David, what are the ranchers after?
Well, this is, what they're after is they want the government to order all beef sold here in the United States in the grocery store carry a label that says, you know, where it's from. And in their case, they want it to say made in the USA. But what this is really about is sort of the collision between the latest turn in a decade-long argument about this and the president's new North American trade deal. And so these ranchers have been fighting this fight off and on for 10 years. They've won and lost battles in Congress. They've lost a couple of key battles at the World Trade Organization. And I should say the industry itself is divided. These ranchers I was spending time with represent a minority view within their industry. But they look at this new North American trade deal that the president's trying to get through Congress, and they're trying to hitch a ride on that. They're trying to get their favorite issue tacked onto that and, you know, pull out a last-minute win here. And I have to say the odds are against them.
Explain the importance of having this Made in the USA label on their cattle. What does it mean to them, I guess financially, right?
Yeah, their view of this is that if consumers have a choice, they will choose American beef. And they feel strongly about that, and they feel like, you know, the absence of this type of labeling, which was in use for several years after 2009 to about 2014 or 15, and cattle prices plummeted after that labeling was taken off because of the World Trade Organization rulings. And so they see a direct tie between labeling and the price that they get for their product. Now, you get an argument on this, and industry group, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, they say no, that's not the case, and they have got studies done for the U.S. Department of Agriculture that say, that look at that price decline after the labeling requirement was taken off, and say, you know, it didn't have a heck of a lot to do with labeling. It was because of other supply and demand factors within the industry. And so in their view, and according to this study, there really is no direct connection between labeling and price. But, you know, that's an argument that's been going on for over 10 years. The important part, though, and the reason why this is such an uphill battle, is the World Trade Organization has already ruled on this twice, and they've said that the way the U.S. was doing the labeling amounted to a trade barrier, it was a way to discriminate against foreign beef, and thus it wasn't permitted under global trade rules.
We're speaking with David Lynch, global economics correspondent at The Washington Post. His piece is called America First May Be Last Hope for These Cattle Ranchers. And these cattle ranchers he's referring to want a Made in the USA label on their cattle. This seems like an awfully tough fight for the little guy.
Well, it is. And you know, they had, having lost the fight and lost it in what seemed to be a decisive way about 4 years ago, you know, I wouldn't say they were resigned to their fate, but they kind of recognized reality. Well, then fast forward to 2017, you've got President Trump coming into office. He's a vocal advocate of Buy America policies on manufactured goods. And in seeking to renegotiate NAFTA, the trade deal with Mexico and Canada, he set as an objective bringing more manufacturing, particularly in the auto industry, back here to the U.S. So they looked at that and they said, whoa, you know, maybe this new guy Trump is our ticket. And so they've tried to get their issue, their labeling issue, inserted into the legislation that Congress will ultimately take up to approve this new trade deal, but it's, you know, they're really fighting a lot of procedural battles and frankly a fatigue factor in Congress and the administration, where you've got lawmakers who've been around for years who fought this battle and lost it several times, and they look at it and they say, you know, we really don't see any point in running up this hill one more time if we're just going to lose at the WTO again.
Thanks, David. David Lynch, global economics correspondent at The Washington Post. FMLA, FLSA, ACA, EEOC. It's harder than ever for businesses to keep up with today's evolving alphabet soup of regulations. What's a company to do? Kronos. With Kronos, you can minimize compliance risk and track HR policies, making sure they're applied consistently and fairly. HR, payroll, talent and timekeeping in one unified system, all with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/compliance. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business, but you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Reminder, by the way, the Small Business Report is found on our website this morning with GordonDeal.com, as well as places like iTunes and SoundCloud. Those are also places where you can hear our daily news program called This Morning, America's First News. Again, if you'd like to share your small business story, I'd like to hear it. You can send me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.